Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Yud Het. Today's daf is being studied in the Mishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terechenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Therefore, Ashilema Dina Batzara. Vegam.
Violet Gilson.
Violet Gilson
Bat Sophia.
Sophia. Enda Refanadahem. Fata Nefesh Ufata Guf. We begin today's daf on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, and we are starting 6 lines from the bottom. Just to review, to set up today's daf, we learned on yesterday's daf, Rabbi Shimon made a derasha from a pasuk, and from his derasha he learned many halachot. He learned a law, for example, by Bikurim. The law he learned by Bikurim is that if a person eats the Bikurim, even a Kohen, eats the Bikurim before they made the recitation, before they read the special Pesukim, so the Bishamon said, you get Makot. He had another derasha. He learned the Chiddush by, let's go in order of his derashot. He had a chiddush by Bikurim. He had a chiddush by Bechor. Bechor, he came along and said that what? That it's asur to eat it by a zar. If a stranger would eat the Bechor, so also he's going to be Hayav Balkut. When he came to Todah and Shilamim, the Korban Todah and Shilamim, he said if you eat it before Zrikat Adam, if you eat the Korban before they sprinkle the blood, is also going to be Hayab Malkut. When it came to Hatat Ve'asham, he came along and said, even if you eat it after Zirikat Adam, but outside of the walls, you're going to be Hayab. When it came to Korban Olah, he said, even if it's after Zirikat Adam, even if it's, let's say, inside the wall, but eating it in general, because it is indeed a Korban Olah, so therefore, it's Asur Achila Bechlal. So basically, he learned from the Pesukim all these laws. Only problem is, he learned these laws using a kal vachomer. Because these words, the pasuk actually was not coming to say any of these things. It doesn't talk about reading about Bikurim. It doesn't talk about in the pasuk zirikat adam at all. It doesn't say nothing. All the pasuk is talking about, you're not allowed to eat these items outside the wall of Jerusalem. Lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha. That's all the pasuk is saying. But he came along and said, I don't need it to teach me that, because I have a kal vachomer. And if what? By ma'aser, which is lenient, and you can't eat it outside the walls, so by these other items that are more stringent, certainly you can't eat it out the walls. So the pasuk is not coming to teach me a din in the walls. Ela, the pasuk must be coming to teach me another application of this law. Only problem is, we have a rule. You're allowed to make kal vachomer. That's not a problem. Kal vachomer is one of the 13 ways that we analyze Torah. Problem is, for every avon that's punishable by malkut or punishable by mitat bedin, you need a warning. You need an azhara. Azhara basically means the Torah is saying, "Don't do this." Lo ta'aseh zeh. That's the warning. And we have a rule that everybody agrees to: en mazhirin min haddin. You're not. A warning that is derived from a kal vachomer is not considered a warning. Which means, in order to get a punishment, it's got to be explicit. And these issurim that Rabbi Shimon learned are not explicit at all. He derived them through the kal vachomer. So therefore, how can Rabbi Shimon come along and say, you're going to get malkut for all these things? What are you talking? Where's the azhara? Where's the warning pasuk? What do you mean, where's the warning pasuk? I just told you, it's from a kal vachomer. We have a rule, ed mazirin min adin. So therefore, that's the question the Gemara begins with. Gemara starts off and says, v'chi mazirin min adin? Do we make a azhara from a kal vachomer? Din means a kal vachomer. ha'afilu leman damar onshin min hadin. Even according to the opinion that says that you're allowed to punish from a kal vachomer, there's a famous machloket when it comes to are you allowed to punish based on a kal vachomer. The famous example is the sister. When the Torah talks about the isur of going with a sister, so the pasuk talks about you cannot go with your maternal sister, nor can you go with your paternal sister. But the Torah, and it says if you go with this, one of the sisters, hayav karet. But the Torah doesn't talk about a full sister. So the Gemara says, it's kal vachomer. If a person is going to get karet on a half sister, certainly he's going to get karet on a full sister. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not good, because you can't give a punishment from a kal vachomer. So that's one opinion. So therefore we have to generate another pasuk to show me full sister. Other rabbi says, no, onshin min adin, you're allowed to bring a punishment from a kal vachomer, so therefore the kal vachomer is fine. So there's a machloket by punishing from a kal vachomer. But warning from a kal vachomer, everybody holds you need a warning, you need to create the lo ta'aseh, it's got to be explicit. So that's what the Gemara says. Even afilu leman damar onshin min adin, even according to the opinion that says, onshin min adin, they're allowed to punish from a kal vachomer, and mazini min adin, but you're not allowed to give a warning pasuk from a kal vachomer. So how then did Rabbi Shimon come along and say that in all these cases you're going to be hayav malkut? They're not written explicitly. So the Gemara says a big hadush over here. Isura be'alma, isura be'alma Rashi, hadeka maiti, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after they get wide in Rashi. Hadekamaiti bechulu azara bekav vachomer leisure be'alma kamar velo lemalkut. You're right. Rabbi Shimon was not talking about malkut, by the way. Even though Rabbi Shimon said malkut, lav dafka. He meant these items. If you do them, you're going to get an isur. You're going to get an avon. Not that you're going to get lashes. You can't get lashes. You're right. These items, if you do them, you're going to get tacked on a sin in the Shamayim. Can we punish you for the sin? We can't punish you for the sin, because there's no warning really. But it's enough that you don't need a warning to get a sin. And we're saying a hadush now, which means you need a warning to get malkut. But you don't need a warning. You could learn from a kal vachomer for something to be forbidden. So that's what Rabbi Shimon said. So Kavzi Gabaran says, what are you talking about? How could you tell me that you're saying that it's only of Isur? V'ha amar Rava. Rava clearly said, Zar is a stranger, right? A non-Kohen. She'achal mena ola lifnei zirika. Wow, a lot of avonot over here. He ate the korban ola before the sprinkling of the blood. Chutz lechoma, outside the wall. Attack that on as well. The Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon that learned this whole pasuk, loke hamesh. Clearly, you get 5 sets of lashes, which means we'll see exactly what the 5 are. But the question is obvious. Lava, when he was learning the Bisham on, he learned them from Malkut. Because he clearly says, if a guy eats a non-Kohen, eats the Korban Ona, before Zedikah, outside the Homa, you're going to get 5 sets of lashes. Even though all these Isurim were derived based on Kal Vachomer. So you can't tell me that the Rabbi Shimon was talking about just Isurim. Rava didn't learn that. Now look at Rashi. Zar, she'achal min ha'olah. Davka zar ka'amar. Okay, we're specifically talking about a zar, a non-Kohen, because we want to tack on an extra avon. Right? So it says, ve'af agav de kohen, legabbe olah zaru. Even though, when it comes to korban olah, everybody's a zar. Because nobody can eat a korban olah. Even a kohen cannot eat a korban olah. Haka zar davka amar. Here we're specifically talking about a zar. The e kohen, because if you're going to learn the case, you're talking about a kohen, batzar lehad lav. You're going to be missing one lav. And therefore he wants to tell you there's 5. There are hamesh, the kama, and he's going to list you then. What are the 5? Had mishum chutz lachoma. Okay, first of all, you ate outside the wall. The ate bekal vachomer v'ma'aser. That we learned from bekal vachomer v'ma'aser. Good. The had mishum lefnei zirika. Okay, ate before the sprinkling. The ate bekal vachomer metoyos shlamim. The had mishum zar gamur afilu lachar zirika. Right? Even if it was after zirika, a stranger cannot eat the korban at all. The ate bekal vachomer v'bechor. The kosh can lefnei zirika, the most before zirika. The had mishum ochel chutz lekelaim. And he ate outside the walls. The atik b'kavam hatat v'asham. The had mishum ochel ola. And the fifth one is the obvious one: eating the ola in general, even if he was a kohen. V'afilu kohen u'b'tocha kelaim. V'kosh kenzar. חוץ קלעים וחוץ לחומה אמר לקוי חמש. So therefore, that she listed for us the five different Isurim that was all learned again based on Kav HaChomer of Rabbi Shimon. So how could you tell me that, oh, it only means Isur? It only means Isur. It's not Isur. Rava says, Malkut. Gemara says, no, don't learn like that. Gemara says, Gemara answers, the Rabbi Shimon Loki Hamesh, Gemara answers, Hamisha, Isurin, Havu. Same answer. When he said five Malkuyot, he didn't mean five Malkuyot. Don't get hung up on the word Malkuyot. Malkuyot is a loose way of saying five sins. The way you make a sin, say a sin is a Malkut, but you're not really getting Malkut. It's just five Averot. As she says, two lines at the bottom, Mishum Hamisha Malkuyot, Ka'amar. V'lo Nelkot Alehem. Not that you can actually get the Malkut. It's Lav Dafka. These are hard answers over here. Because they're using the word Malkut, and you're coming along and saying, it's Malkut, but it's not Malkut. It's Isurim. Yeah, we're forced to answer these answers, because again, we're stuck with the question you can't punish from, you can't give a warning from a Kav HaChomer. So we have no Lashes is a Machloket, on Sheen, Min HaDin. But without an Azara, it doesn't even start. So for sure you cannot give Lashes without an Azara. Wait, comes the Gemara and says, she cut five, that she cut five. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'anan Tenan. What are you talking about? You just want to tell me, and we accept it. There's no Malkut in these things. These five items, there's no Malkut. It's just Isurin. The only problem is, you forgot the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Ve'anantenan Eluhen Halokin. By the way, that's the name of this Perek. This Perek is Eluhen Halokin, and that's the way the Mishnayot begin. These are the people that get Malkut. And then the next Mishnayot give us a whole list of people that are subject to Malkut.
Outside the city, outside the wall.
That was one of them. One of the Isurim was what? Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Bikurim, if you ate the Bikurim before you did the reading, the Mishnah said Malkut. Well, what are you talking about? How could you give Malkut over there? There's no warning on this item. The warning came from a Kav HaChomer. And now Mishnah Keli says, Elohen Halokin. Now, you can't tell me in the Mishnah that it meant Isurim, because the Mishnah said Elohen Elohim. This is talking about the Malkut. And not only that, but one of the cases of the Mishnah was, if you eat Kodshei Kodashim, if you eat Korbanot outside the wall. Outside the wall, that was one of the lists in the Mishnah. Malkut, what are you talking? That's only derived from a Kav HaChomer based on the Bishimon's Derasha. So now you're stuck. How are you going to tell me Elohen Elohim? So the Gemara comes up with a new answer. Gemara says, Ela Kera Yeterahu. Forget about Kav HaChomer. Take Kav HaChomer away. The whole Pasuk, this Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon is Doresh, the whole Pasuk is superfluous. The whole Pasuk is extra. Why? Rashi, top line. Kera Yeterahu. Hai Kera Dolotuchal Echod Dekamanu Lekulu Begave. This Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon learned all his dinim from the Mechti. Right before the Pasuk, it says, Vahavetem Shamma. It says, and you will bring over there, I'm reading the Pasuk for you now, Odotechem, Vezbhechem, Ve'et Marcelotechem, Ve'trumatitchem, Ve'edrechem, Ve'edbotechem, Ve'kurt Berchechem, Ve'sutchem. The Pasuk right before lists all the same exact items. Now, why would the Pasuk again have to repeat? Lo tuchal lechol misharecha. You cannot eat the following things outside the wall. And then listed all the seven items again. The Pasuk already listed those items in the Pasuk before, so the next Pasuk should just come and say, these items that we just mentioned, the aforementioned items, don't eat outside the wall. Why would it have to repeat all of them again? So Rashi says, Temechti, second line of Rashi, Ketiv le'ilmine, it says right before the Pasuk of Rabbi Shimon, Vabetem Shamba, V'chulluhu b'aykera ketiv. All these items are listed in that Pasuk. לכתוב בתרי לא תוכל לאוכלם בשעריך. That's the person who says, don't eat these items outside. אם על חוץ לחומה בא להזהיר, if that's what the person was coming to teach me. Oh, from the fact that it listed it again in specific each item, must be it's coming to tell us חידושים on each item, which means it's in enor enyan. if I cannot, I don't need it for the deen of lo tokal lekol b'sha'arecha, because it's extra, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly why it's extra. So therefore, it must be coming to teach me things outside of the law. And the Gemara is going to explain it now. Gemara says, "Mechti." Let's analyze. And we start. Ketiv, it says, "Va'abetem shama." That's the pasuk I just quoted to you. That's the pasuk before Rabbi Shimon. Olotechem, zvachem, asotechem, etc. Va'achatem sham, lefnei Hashem elokechem. Now, what does the pasuk say clearly? You have to eat these items lefnei Hashem. Where is that? In Jerusalem. That means shelamim, maaser sheni, bikurim, korbanot, neder, nedaba, bechor. So therefore, if you want to tell me a lot ta'aseh, now you told me positive. You must eat it in Jerusalem. You have to eat it lefnei Hashem. The next pasuk should just tell me, lichtov rachmana lo tuchal le'ochlam. It should just say, do not eat them b'sha'arecha, in your gates. That would have been sufficient. Why then did Torah have to come along and say, don't eat them in your gates? This one, and this one, and this one, and this one. We know the cases you're talking about. You listed all the cases already. So there's a lot of extra wordage in the pasuk. So therefore the Gemara comes along and says, mehedar mefaresh bihu rachmana lamali. Why would the Torah have to go repeat all these items again? Lo tuchal le'ochal b'sha'arecha, ma'asar dekarecha, troshecha, yisarecha, kol merecha, sorecha, kol derecha, shidduv, b'motecha, t'vajadecha. Ela must be liyachudeh lehu laveh lechol had v'chad. It must be coming to designate an extra isur for each one of these items, which means it's as if the Torah is coming to write an additional lav for each of these items, which means lo tuchal, don't eat b'sha'arecha, all these items. Why do you have to tell me these items? I know that from the last pasuk, because the pasuk didn't have to write it so explicit. So that we have a rule, im enu anyan, if it's not used for what we need it for chutz l'Yerushalayim, so now it's free. Tenau enyan l'isur acher. We can use it for something else. Oh, so now we start. What's the something else? Well, bikurim, the fact that you wrote it again. So I obviously the Torah is coming to tell me now a new hadush. What's the new hadush Torah is coming to tell me? That by bikurim, you're going to be chayav, malkut, if you eat it before the kiriyah was made. And then we go to the next item. This is going to teach me if you eat it before Zirika. This is going to teach me if you eat it outside the walls. And this is going to teach me if you eat it at all by the Qurban. Ola. Now, look at Rashi. Mehdar perushe bekolhad lamali. Why does it have to repeat each one of these cases already? It's written in the aforementioned pasuk. Shema mina liyehude lav bekolhad behad. It's coming to teach me a new isur for each one. Ki'ilu chozer, and here's the key line of Rashi. Ki'ilu chazar v'chatav b'chol echad lav dechutz lachoma. Which means like this, a big chadush that's being said here. Since all these words are extra, it's as if it says, by each one of these items, don't eat it outside the wall. But I don't need it for eating it outside the wall. Because already I know that from the last pasuk. Pasuk said you have to eat it in Jerusalem. If the pasuk just wanted to tell me don't eat it outside Jerusalem, it could have said these items that we just said lo tochelim, period, two words. From the fact that it said lo tuchal lecho b'sha'arecha, ma'asar dekarecha, troshecha, yisarecha, so therefore it's as if each one of these items is being written lo tuchal, don't eat, don't eat. But it's teaching me a new hadush. Don't eat bikurim before you do the reading. Nothing to do with outside the wall. Outside the wall already, I know. But it's coming to teach me something different than that. So now once already, it's as if it says a special lo ta'aseh, it's explicit now. Lo tuchal, do not eat it. So therefore, now you can get malkut. Now already the asara is as if it's written.
Warning.
The warning is written. Oh, so therefore we go back and say, oh, they're really... Yes, the whole derashav of the Kal Vachomer is out. We're revamping the derashav Rabbi Shimon. Till now, we thought the whole thing was based on kavachomers. Uma maaseh rakal che. Now we're going simple. The whole pasuk was extra, and therefore, when it says lo tuchal le'echol b'sha'arecha, last one bikurim, it means do not eat bikurim. When? Don't it be kurim outside the wall? We're not for the last pasuk already. It says you have to eat in Yerushalayim. If the Torah was just telling me that, it could have wrote it in a very short way. And the fact that the Torah went in a big way must be telling me a new hadush. Don't eat bikurim. When don't eat bikurim? Don't eat it before you do the reading. Okay, beautiful, but it's not so simple what we're saying here. Because Rashi throws out a very strong question. Starts off easy. Good. V'inach, and all the other ones, kol had v'had l'milte ata. Good. And then each one, this one is going to be before the sprinkling, and this one is going to be outside the walls, and this one is going to be korban olah. Anybody eats it at all? Good. Problem is, v'im tomar, b'chol ha-kodashim ha-ketuvim kan, dayecha im teten et alav inyan le'ochel lefne zericha b'kulan chus me'bekurim. Which means like this. Let's start off with the Todan Shelamim. That's one of the items that are written in the Pasuk. So what are you going to say? Don't eat the Todan Shelamim outside Jerusalem. No, I don't need it for that. Not everybody I know from the last Pasuk. So what is it saying? Don't eat the Todan Shelamim before you do Zerika. Okay, beautiful. I added a Isur, new Isur. Now, let's get to the Hatat and the Asham. Let's get to the next item. Hatat and Asham. What are you going to tell me? Again, it's not talking about eating it outside Jerusalem. Say, don't eat the Hatat ve'Asham also before Zerika. Rabbi Shimon didn't say that. Rabbi Shimon said when it came to Hatat ve'Asham, it's a suit to eat it even after the Zerika. How did he learn that again? From a Kal v'Chomer. Hatat and Asham is more strict. And therefore, if Todah is before, we're going to say that this is even going to be Asur after. Which means the derasha of Rabbi Shimon, when it came to Hatat ve'Asham, was to teach me that these items are going to be asur, even or outside the walls, or out even after Zirikat Adam. The only way you could learn after Zirikat Adam is you're going to have to go back to these Kal v'Chomers. Which means if you learn this way, I'll say it to you clearly. If you're going to learn it this way, you know what? I'm going to read it to you in the easier lashon. So you're going to say, because this question is fundamental that she's asking. She says like this. Lekabeh todah v'shelamim. By todah v'shelamim. You have an extra pasuk? No problem. It's coming to tell me malkut before zirikat adam. By bechor. What was the hadush of bechor? It's coming to teach me zar. That a stranger cannot eat the bechor. By hatat v'asham, if you eat it outside of the azara. By olah, the pasuk is coming to say it's asu to eat it at all. No problem. But as she comes along and says, "Legabe bikurim etodav v'shelamim," I understand Rabbi Shimon. It's coming to teach me malkut on bikurim lefne the kriyah, and it's teaching me etodav v'shelamim lefne the zrika. She can end sorek lelmod isul achila chutz lachoma, which means since you don't need a pasuk for chutz lachoma, I can donate it for something else. Ela legabe apratim acharim sheba pasuk, but by all the other cases, bechor, chatat, asham, ola, that Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, if the pasuk is coming to tell me before Zerika, I don't need it. Kal v'chomer from todah v'shelamim. And the pasuk must be coming to tell me le'achar Zerika. You're back to kal v'chomer again. Which means Rabbi Shimon in his drasha originally said, okay, v'chata v'asham. If it's coming to tell me before Zerika, nah, for sure, I don't need a pasuk for that. Kal v'chomer from todah v'shelamim. And le'achatat v'asham and all that. But even after Zerika, wait. You're back to the same question then. These parts of the Pesukim that you learned after Zidika is based on a Kal v'Chomer. Once it's based on the Kal v'Chomer and Mazirin, Menadin. And therefore you're stuck. Therefore you're back to the same question. And therefore these items over there, you should not be getting Malkut. And then how come it clearly says that you're going to get Malkut on these items? Because the Mishnah said, if you eat Kodshe Kodashim, which means even after Zidikat Adam, outside the Choma, you're going to get Malkut. Wait, only way to be sure can derive that is from a Kal v'Chomer and Mazirin min Adin. That's Rashi's question. So Rashi comes along and answers. Rashi answers. In a chinameh, you're right. It's a good question, he says. You're right. Uma'ita diktani lokin. And Amishnah said, you get Malkut in these items. Be'achol kodshe kodshim chosa kelaim. I have a different pasuk. Be'basar basade terefa. Oh, new story. There's another pasuk we found in the Torah that teaches me if you eat a Qurban Hattat, even after Zidikat Adam, outside of the wall, you're going to get a Yisur. But if you're relying on Rabbi Shimon, you're not going to get it. Because from Rabbi Shimon, these items, you need still the Kavah Homer. Again, I'm going to explain to you why. I want to get this point clear again. According to Rabbi Shimon, the whole Pasuk is extra. Because the Pasuk before tells me all these items. So if you just tell me don't eat the outside the wall, just say, Lo tochelem chutz lachoma. Finished. Very simple. So the fact that it says, do not eat these items. List them all. Oh, nu hadushim for each one. Don't eat bikurim before you do the reading. No problem. Give him malkut. It's like it said a special lav over there. What else you got there? Don't eat the korban and korban todah v'shilamim. Don't eat it before you sprinkle the blood. Okay, that's a good one. Then what does he say to Bishamon? Hatat v'asham. What does he come here to teach me? Well, before the sprinkling, kavachomer from todah. Oh, kavachomer. So what does he come here to teach me then? Hatat v'asham. Even after. Right, so then you're learning after Zirika is from a Kavachomer. So you're back to the same question. It's against Embezirim and Adin. So then she says, you're right. How do you know that Kadashim that you eat after Zirika, Chutz Tachoma, another Pasuk I found, Basar, Basadeh, Terefa, Lo Tochelu. And I'm going to wait to explain that Pasuk till the Gemara explains it as it's coming up. Comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, Gemara says, Gufa. Now we go into one specific case. How does a Gufa work? Whenever you see the word Gufa, Gufa means we had this statement already presented to us before. Now we're going to bring it back, we're going to isolate it, and we're going to analyze it. Which means, whenever you see a Gufa, the statement should be familiar to you. That's something already that you learned already, but now that the Gemara is going to develop it. Gufa! Amar Rava, Zar she'achal min ha'ola lefnei zirika chutz lachoma Rabbi Shimon nokeh hamesh. We're familiar with that statement, we just read it. Rava said, Azar, that eats before the Chomar Ola, outside the Choma, before the Zirika, bring him five. Now again, it's not five Malkoyot really, it's going to be five Isurin based on it. Oh, that's the Gemara's question now. Gemara's question is, what are you talking about? Why did you only say five? Why did you only say five? Velilkename mishum vezar lo yochal ki kodesh hem. Torah comes along and says that a zar, stranger, a non-kohen, he's not allowed to eat korbanot. Why can't he eat korbanot? Because that gives us a reason. Ki kodesh hem, because it is kodesh. What is implying over here? That anything that's kodesh, a zar cannot eat. Is ola kodesh? Of course it's kodesh. So therefore, we found another item, number six. So the Gemara answers, Hani mili hecha dele kohanim hazeh. Hecha dele kohanim nameh lo hazeh. Which means, the Pasuk is saying like this. I'm reading you the whole Pasuk now. Ve'achilu otam Aaron ubanav asher kupar bahim. Which means, who can eat the Korban? Aaron and his children. But you, Mr. Zar, you non-Kohen, do not eat it. So the Gemara says, wait. When is the Zar Hayav? Only when Aharon's Kohen's family can eat it. When it's viable for Aharon, then the Zar has this Isur. But a Korban Olah, that even the family of Aharon cannot eat, so therefore there's no special Isur on the Zar. The Zar Isur applies when it's applicable to Aharon. But if Aharon can eat, so there's no Isur on the Zar, because we're connecting two parts of the Pesukim. It says, and the Kohanim will eat it, and the Zar will not eat it. When the Kohanim can eat it, the Zar cannot eat it. But when the Kohanim cannot eat it anyway, there's no special Isur on the Zar. Korban Ola, can a Kohen eat it? No, that's why Rabbah did not count this Pesuk. The Gemara says, oh yeah? It's okay, we found another Pesukim that he should be Hayav on. Velil Kenameh, he should be Hayav Malkut. Mishum, our pasuk that we just quoted, Ubasar basadeh terefa lo tochelu. Now, this pasuk over here is not talking about korbanot. This pasuk is talking about basar terefa. What's terefa? The animal, let's say, was trounced on by another animal, and it became slaughtered by another animal. Animal's terefa. You're not to eat a basar terefa, even though it's dead. Even though nevela is where you slaughtered it and it came out the wrong way. Here, when the animal has a blemish, because it was wounded by another animal, it's a terefa. So the Gemara says, "Ubasar basadet terefa lo tochedu." Now, can I ask you a question? If the pasuk was just telling me you cannot terefa meat, why does it say "ubasar basadet"? Well, and if it's in your backyard, you're allowed to eat a terefa. What's the sadeh got to do with anything? Only in the field terefa is asur. That word sadeh is superfluous. Oh, from the fact that the Torah threw in that word sadeh, it's coming to teach me hadush. Kevan chiyasa basar. Which means, we don't know where Hadush. Sadeh means in the field, as opposed to in the walls. So we're learning over here. Once a piece of meat of Qurban left the walls, it becomes forbidden. Even though you bring it back into the walls. Once it goes out, but Sadeh, terefa, it's out of bounds. It's like a terefa. Yeah, Rabbi, I brought it back in. Too late. Once it's out, it's out. Ubasar basadeh. Once basar of a korban went into the sadeh, meaning left the walls, terefa, no good. It's like a terefa. Oh, so we have another isur over here. Back to our story of Rava, the zar. Where do you eat the korban ola? Outside the walls. Why don't you tack on this new isur over here, number 6? Kabbalah says back to the same answer. Hani mile hecha de bifnim hazeh. When do we say that the out of bounds korban is asur? When if it was in bounds, it would be permissible. However, when it comes to korban ola, even in bounds, it's asur because it's korban ola. So this isur doesn't apply. The isur only applies that if it goes out, it's asur because if it was in, it would be permissible. But this case, even when it was in, you weren't allowed to eat it. So therefore, this Yisur does not have application. That's going to be basically the answer to all these questions. We're going to throw on a new pasuk. The Gemara says, that's different. That's different. Gemara says, we have another one. Keder Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, what's the Rabbi Eliezer? The Amar Rabbi Eliezer. This is talking about notar. We have a law that says, you're not allowed to leave the Qurban overnight. So it says, let's say you pass the time. Well, I shouldn't say overnight, because some Qurban you have 2 days and one night, you have different time span for each Qurban. So once you pass that time, what does the Pasuk say? Lo ye'achel ki kodesh hu. It says, do not eat the item. You know why you shouldn't eat the item? Because it is kodesh. Now why is it going to have to give me a reason? Just say, don't eat it. What do you mean, don't eat it because it's kodesh? Ela, the Torah is coming to teach me hadush. Kol shebe kodesh pasul. That anything that is kodesh has a specific isur. Ba'katuv liten lo ta'aseh al achilato. Which means, it's coming to say like this. Anytime you have kodesh that became pasul, you can't eat it. Not only notar. Anytime kodesh has a psul, it becomes unedible. Take the korban ola. Our story. It left the Homa. Left the Homa, it becomes unedible. And the Pasuk says that anything that's Kodesh, that becomes Pasul, lo yachel. Also, she gets this Isur as well. Gemara answers the same answer. Hani mili hecha dekodim pasul lo chazeh. Hecha dekodim pasul lo namen lo chazeh. That's only talking that before it was Pasul, you were able to eat it. But in this case of the Qurban Ola, even before the Pasul, you can't eat it because it's Qurban Ola. So this issue doesn't apply as well. So you want to find another one. This is the last one the Gemara is going to answer. Velil kename ki idach de Rabbi Eliezer. We found another shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Netanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. This is talking about over here, Minhat Kohen. The Minha that the Kohen brings. It says, Kalil tiye. Should all go to God, lo te'achil. Do not eat the min'ah, only the mizbeah. Put the korban on the mizbeah. Now, from the fact, the Gemara learns, kol shu kalil tihye, which means anything that's supposed to be put on the mizbeah, kalil, not only the min'ah, including a korban olah, that's also kalil. Has the same, it's like a korban, it's like a min'ah. And what is the pasuk saying? Kalil tiyeh liten lo ta'aseh al echilato. Anything that's kalil, anything that has to be kudlo ala mizbeah, lo te'akher, do not eat it. And now you can't answer me, ola is different. No, this is ola. This is the same case. So the Gemara answers, in hache nameh. You're right. Count this one on the list. This is number six. But Rava, promise you only said five. So he says, Rava mehai kera ka'amar. He meant to say, I meant five from the one pasuk of Rabbi Shimon. Of course you got other Isurim from other places. I would just say from that one pasuk Rabbi Shimon said, Azar, and outside the wall, and before Zirikah, and after Zirikah, and all that stuff. That's five from one pasuk. You found me another pasuk somewhere else? Baruch Abba, I'm not arguing on that. That's included. That's number six. Now the Gemara starts a new piece. Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav. Okay, Siman Kuza. Okay, we read the Siman. Kohen she'achal mehatat ve'asham lefne zirika loke. Okay. We can accept that. It's easy halakha. A Kohen that eats from the hatat and the asham, even though he's allowed to eat from hatat and asham, but he preempted. He jumped the gun. He ate before zirika, before they sprinkled the blood on the mizbeach. Okay, so we're going to give him the malkut.
Before the blood
was sprinkled. The Amar Kira, because the Pamay Tama, the Amar Kira Pasuk says, the Achilu Otam Asher Kupar Bahim. They'll eat it when there is kapara. Now, when is the kapara of a korban? The Achar Kapara In. Only after the kapara does it become edible. And that's only after Zirikat Hadam. The Fne Kapara Lo. But before the kapara, you cannot eat it. Now, very strange. You only get malkut on a negative commandment. You don't get malkut on a positive commandment. This is a positive commandment. So they're saying, and you shall eat it after this kapara. That's a positive. How then could you give me malkut on a positive? So the Gemara says, Hiddush, lav haba mechlal aseh lavhu. Any mitzvat aseh that has an implication to a lo ta'aseh is like a lo ta'aseh. You read the pasuk. You must eat it v'achilu otam asher kupar b'hem. What's the implication? Don't eat it beforehand. So even though it was written in the positive way, the implication is to the negative, and therefore to negative. So sometimes you're going to have positive commandments that are really negative commandments.
It's counted as
a negative.
In the list of,
they'll put it as a negative. Because this is a negative commandment. Why did Torah write it in a positive way? That's a good question. Why didn't he just say, don't eat it? Good shayla tova. I don't have the answer to that now. But the Torah is clearly saying that even though it's written, eat it after kapara. Implying what? Don't eat it before kapara. So therefore it's a lot of tasa. The Gemara says, wait, mativ rava. Because once you start with this,
then you're
opening yourself to a lot of questions. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, let's talk about kosher animals. It says, V'chol behema mefreset parsa v'shusa atshesa shetef erasot ma'alat gera bebehema ota tochelu. But those are kosher signs. Split hooves and chewing its cud. What does the Torah say? Eat it. Now stop right there. What's the implication? This you eat. But the other stuff,
don't eat.
Oh, so this is also a lo ta'aseh. So Gemara says, ota tochelu. V'en behema acheret tochelu. But don't eat any other type of animals. V'ik dekama, but if it's quite the way you teach me that you make that implication, etze lo tochelu lamali. Why does the next pasuk have to come and say, and these don't eat? You don't got to tell me don't eat. I know that already from the positive.
Right.
Every time you tell me a positive, I can derive the negative. So in this case of it, etzot lo tochelu, you don't need. That's the Gemara's question.
And they don't answer.
So the Gemara says, Ela, you're right. And therefore, you're right. We take it back. You're not getting Malkut on that case of the Zar. The Zar that ate, not the Zar, the Kohen that ate the Korban before Zerikah. You can't give him Malkut because of this technicality. It's a positive commandment. And we're not going to say it's a positive. That becomes a negative. Leave that. Change the statement. Do over. Ela I itmar, achi itmar. If you want to make the statement, say it like this. Amarav Gidal Amarav. New story. Zar. All right, but we changed it. Now we're talking about a Kohen. Now we turned him into a Zar. She'achal mechatat ve'asham lefne zirika patur. Wow. We changed everything here. We turned him into a Zar and we changed the deen. If he eats a hatat that Hashem kodem zirika, he is indeed patur. My ta'ama, for the same reason we just said, de'amar kera ve'achilu ota masher kupar ba'im, that the Kohanim only eat the korban at the time of the kapara. Kol hecha de'karin nan be, ve'achilu ota masher kupar ba'im, only in a situation where it's possible that you can get kapara, karin nan be, ve'zar le'yukhal ki kodeshim. Then we say that a zar cannot eat it, which means a zar cannot eat it only after it's shayach to kapara. That means when the Kohanim are allowed to eat it, the zar is forbidden to eat it. When is the Kohen allowed to eat it? After the zirika. Then the zar law kicks in. But so long as they can't eat it, because there's no kapara yet, because it's before zirika, no karin and beve zar, no yucha. So therefore the zar law doesn't apply either, but again, it's not a lo ta'aseh. It's just a positive. So if it's a positive, you can't give the zar malkut. Is he going to get an isur? He'll get an isur. But you can't give him the malkut. So comes the Gemara and says, new story. Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Bikurim. Okay, back to the story of Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Every year you have to take from the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and you have to put them in a basket, you have to take them up to Yerushalayim, you have to give, present it to the Kohen. There's two mitzvot over here. Number one is you have kiriyah, you have to make a recitation, Arami Oved Abi, like it's written in Parashat Ki Tavo, and also you have a mitzvah of V'nachto. You have to place the Bikurim in front of Hashem. Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Bikurim, Hanacha, Me'akevet Bahem, kiriyah, and Me'akevet Bahem. Okay, Rabbi Al-Azhar says, clearly, the main item of the Bikurim, not like our Mishnah, Rabbi Al-Azhar says, the main item is the Hanacha. Even though you didn't read yet. So long as you placed it down, even though you didn't read yet, Kohen can eat it. But if you didn't place it down yet, it becomes from Hanaha is the Ikar, not the Kiriyah. Umi Amar, Rabbi Al-Azhar, did indeed Rabbi Al-Azhar say that? The Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Hifrish Bikurim Kodem Lehag. Let's say a guy, he separated his Bikurim before Sukkot. Whenever it says Hag, Hag is Sukkot. And now what happened? Sukkot passed. He didn't bring them yet. He separated them, but he didn't get to the Beit HaMikdash after Sukkot. Yirkebu. He has to let the fruits spoil. My love. Why do you have to let them spoil? Bring them after Sukkot. My love, Mishum, delo matzeh lemekre alehen. Because after Sukkot, you're not allowed to make the recitation. Why can't you make the recitation after Sukkot? When you bring Bikurim after Sukkot, why can't you say this whole business over here? So it says like this. In the recitation it says, V'samachta b'chol atov, Asher natan Hashem Elohecha. Asher natan Hashem Elohecha. You can only read the recitation b'makom or b'zman simcha. That's on the holiday. However, after zman simcha, you can't say V'samachta b'chol atov. So therefore, after Sukkot, there's no reading. So now let's figure it out. Rabbi the Ezer set a rule. After Sukkot, let the Bikurim rot.
Because you can't read.
He didn't say that, but we're saying. Must be why? Because you can't read. But what do you mean? According to you, the reading is not the item. The main thing is the Hanaha. So you want to ask? He is al kadadah kiriyah and me'akivet behem. Am I yirkebu? If you tell me that the kiriyah is not mandatory, so why are you letting them spoil? Bring them up, don't read. Big deal. Put them next to the mizbeah, and then you're covered. So the Gemara over here gives a very important rule. I'm going to tell you the rule outside. This rule repeats itself in Shas all over the place. And that rule is, Kol hara'uy nibila bila me'akevet. In bila me'akevet. Kol she'en ra'oy lebila, bila me'akevet. What is this? What is bila? What is me'akevet? So explanation is like this. We have a mitzvah to bring a mincha. You bring a mincha. How do you bring the mincha? A few ingredients. Flour, oil. And then mix. Bilula b'shemen le'mincha. You have to mix it. Now, how much oil do you have to bring? Let's say you have to bring a log shemen, certain shi'ur. Now, how much flour do you bring? So, the Hakamim tell us, up to a shi'ur of 60 esaron with a log of shemen, it'll mix nicely. Once already you have 61, it's not going to mix nicely. You have to put it in two separate kelim. Okay? That's the rule. That's the cutoff point. 60, 61. 60, it'll mix nicely. 61, doesn't mix nicely, but in separate cups. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Halakha says, even if you didn't mix it at all, it's kasher. So what do I care? Even 61, put it in one keli and bring it. Because even if you don't mix it, it's okay. What do you tell me? Oh, it doesn't mix good. Don't mix it. You don't have to mix it. So the Gemara says, you're right, you don't have to mix it. But it has to be ra'ui to mix. Exactly, it has to be mixable. Potentially able to be mixed. So I have 60. You don't have to mix it. Because I can mix it. If I wanted, I can do it. If it's sketchy like this. However, when it comes to 61, you can't mix it. Separate kelim. Let's say the saying now. Kol hara'ui libila, something that's bila means bilila. Kol hara'ui libila, anything that's ra'ui to mix, and bila ma'akev. Then the mixing doesn't matter. You don't have to mix it. Kol she'enu ra'ui libila, but something that's not ra'ui to mixing, bila ma'akev. Now already it's a problem. So we're going to say the same concept by here. Rabbi Eliezer holds, you don't got to read, by the way, but it has to be potentially able to read. So therefore, when you bring it after Sukkot, when you bring it before Sukkot, you don't got to read, because potentially I can read. So the reading, it doesn't matter. Just put it in front of Hashem and you're okay. But after Sukkot, you don't have the ability to read. Oh, that's already worse. You don't even have the potential. So there's no right, the reading expired. So therefore, now already have a problem. Now let it spoil. So really, to be the Ezer is consistent. The main item is the Hanaha, but you need a potential of reading. I'll do that inside now. Kedir Rabbi Zera, Damar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera taught Kol Haraui LeBila. Bila, I told you, is Bilila, is the mixing of the Menha and Bila Me'akevet. Then you don't even have to mix it. V'chol she'en ra'u lebila, bila me'akevet bo. You know what? Just so we get this concept crystallized, let's read the Rashi over here. The Rashi is right in the center of the daf there. You see, da'amar kol ra'u lebila, right over here in the center Rashi. B'mesechet Menachot, Tenan, hare alai shishim ve'ehad esaron. Guy says, I want to bring 61 esronim to the Beit HaMikdash. Mevi shishim b'chli ehad, v'had b'chli acher. Bring 60 in one keli and one in another keli. De'ad shishim yukhulim lebaler b'chli ehad. Right. In one keli you can mix 60. Aval shishim v'ehad kimnu rabbanan de'enan elim yafeh. But the rabbi said 61 in one keli, it's not going to work. V'avin haba v'chi enan ebedavin, even if they don't mix good. Mayavi, what's the difference? V'anan tenan im lo balal kasher. Okay? That's that shita. Okay, let's go one more piece. Okay. So what did we learn until now? We learned until now Hanaha is the main item. According to the Bidah Ezra. Hanaha is the main item. Now the Gemara is going to say other rabbis also agree to Rabbi El-Azhar. Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Mat Nila Ked Rabbi Ase Amar Rabbi Yohanan. That what? He learned in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. V'kashaled Rabbi Yohanan Ad Rabbi Yohanan. Which means he learned what we just learned about Hanaha, and we learned in the name of Rabbi El-Azhar. He learned in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. Okay, no problem. Rabbi Yohanan's Hanaha is the main item. Only thing is, by doing that, he saw a contradiction now from Rabbi Hanan to Rabbi Hanan. Why? What else did Rabbi Hanan say? Umi amar Rabbi Hanan bikurim anaha me'akevet b'hem kiriya en me'akevet b'hem. Did Rabbi Hanan indeed say that the main item is the hanaha, not the kiriya? Ve'aba mine Rabbi Asim Rabbi Hanan. Rabbi Asim once asked a question to Rabbi Hanan. Bikurim, this is a rabbi, bikurim me'em atay mutarim lekohanim. From when did they become permissible to the Kohanim? Amar Leis, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hari'uyim Likiriyah. Which means, when you bring the Bikurim between Shavuot and Sukkot, where you're able to make the reading, because it's Zman Simcha, that's when people are taking their fruits from the field, and they're harvesting, it's a happy time. Mishikana Alehim. Then already, you have to read. V'she'en Ru'im Likiriyah. If it's born after Sukkot, meaning the time when there's no Simcha anymore, Mishina'u Pnei Abayit. Bring him into the Azara, bring him next to the Mizbeah. Now over here in the Kaura, you have two contradictions. Because, Kashya Kiriya Akiriya. You told me in your first statement of Yohanan that what? Hanaha is the item. Then you tell me over here, Kiriya is the item. Make up your mind. Is it Hanaha or is it Kiriya? Kashya Hanaha Hanaha. And you have a Stida as well. Because Rabbi Yochanan said it's Hanaha, and then when he answered the question, he said, if it's only for Kiriyah, it's Kiriyah. Ot pam, when Rabbi Yochanan made his statement, his original statement was just blanket. He said, the main item is Hanaha. He didn't tell me Sukkot, before Sukkot, Hanaha. Then all of a sudden, when Rabbi Yosei asked him a question, he said, Rabbi Yosei asked Rabbi Yochanan a question, Rabbi, what's the item with the Bikurim? When is it Me'akib? He said, depends. Depends. You brought it before Sukkot, between Shavuot and Sukkot, then you got to make a Kiriyah. You got to make a Kiriyah. You just told me Hanaha is the item. Everybody, bring it after Sukkot, then already Hanaha is the item. No Kiriyah. So make up your mind. Kasha, Kiriyah, Kiriyah. Kasha, Hanaha, Hanaha. Let's read Rashi. We have Rashi over here. Okay, now this is just Rashi says exactly what we said. So comes the Gemara and says, okay. Kiriyah, Kiriyah, La Kasha. You have no stira over here. Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Ha, Rabbanan. Good. Which means that which Rabbi Yochanan said. That's mashma that the Kiriyah is me'akev. He said between Shavuot and Sukkot. You got to do the reading. That's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we learned the Bishimon right in the beginning of yesterday's daf. We said the Bishimon is the opinion of our Mishnah, like Rabbi Akiva. Right? We said in the beginning, Matnitin Rabbi Akiva sti mata'a. So the Gemara said, you could have said it's a Bishimon also. What is a Bishimon? Oh, that Kiriyah is Me'akev. So that statement that was said in Rabbi Yochanan that the Kiriyah is the item, that was going according to Rabbi Shimon. That which, when he asked him the question of Aset Rabbi Yochanan, he told him the Kiriyah, Rabbanan. That's going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, which means one time he was explaining the according to the Bishimon, and one time he was explaining in the name of the rabbis, which he himself, we don't know what he held. One time he was offering the opinion of the Bishimon, and one time he offered the opinion of the rabbis. However, he himself, we don't know what he said. So don't say he contradicted himself. Hanaha, Hanaha milakasha. And when it comes to Hanaha, also no question. Originally you said Hanaha is the item. Then you tell me Kiriya is the item. Make up your mind. Gemara says Har Biuda Harbanan, which means that which he said that what Hanaha is not the item. When he said the Kiriya is the main thing, when he told him between Shavuot and Pesach and Sukkot, what did he say? Read. Wait a minute. I thought you just said Hanaha is the item. Oh, that's going to Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know what Rabbi Yehuda is, by the way. We have to find the Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see Rabbi Yehuda in a second. Ha Rabbanan. And the other opinion that when the Biyosei asked, the Maasei asked Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Hana'a is Me'akevet, that's going according to the opinion. But again, he didn't say two things that are contradictory. He just took two rabbis' opinions. Now, the last thing we have to figure out is over here, where do you see in Shas the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds Hana'a is not Me'akev, that the main thing is the Kiri'ah? Gemara says, "My Rabbi Yehuda, where do you see Rabbi Yehuda?" Betanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, guy brought the Bikurim. What does it say? You read. You did the reading. You did everything. Then what do you do? V'nachto. How would you explain v'nachto? Place it in front of the Mizbeah. He says, "No, zu tenufa." This is talking about the waving. Which means you have to, like we do the dulav on Sukkot, you have to wave it up and down, and forward and back. to the four corners, yeah? No, the four places. Where'd you get tenufa from? Pasuk says, you place it. And you come and tell me, oh, placing means up and down. Remember we learned yesterday, it says placing twice in the Torah. One time it says, one time it says, v'niho means place it. So what does v'nachto mean? V'nachto is a different item. What is that? Hamani mekayem v'nachto zu tenufa. That's referring to tenufa. Oh, so wait. Once you learn this, see if you can figure this out. You learn from this, what is it, a braita, that according to the Bihuda, kiriyah is the main item and not hanaha. Where do you see this braita, anything that kiriyah is the main item and not hanaha? Because if you remember, according to the opinions that said hanaha is the main item, where did we learn it from? The fact that it says hanaha twice. When the Torah says something twice, it's trying to say, this is the main item. So it says, v'nachto, v'niho. But once you see the Biyuda uses v'nachto for tenufa, so it only says it once. Oh, that's not ma'akev. Ela must be the kiriyah's ma'akev. So once already he bypassed one of the v'nachtos to teach me something else, so then you don't have a derash anymore. Uman tanad de padig aled Rabbi Yehuda. Who's the rabbi that argues on the Biyuda? There must be a rabbi there that argues on the Biyuda. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi. What does he say? Eliezer ben Yaakov. Netanya, it says in the pasuk. Velakach hakohen atene miyadecha. The kohen will take the basket of fruit from your hands. Limed ala bekurim shteonim tenufa. Devre Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He learns from this pasuk. What does it mean the Kohen takes it from your hands? He puts his, we're going to see, he puts his hands under the hands of the person and he makes the tenufa. Oh, so he learns tenufa from somewhere else, from miyadecha. Therefore, he has the two v'hin nahtos and v'hin nicho available to teach me what? That it's me'akev. So everybody holds you have to do tenufa. Question is, where do you learn tenufa from? Now the Gemara says, "My Tamad Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov." Says Rabbi, the pasuk says, "V'dakach hakohen atene miyadecha." Take it. The Kohen should take it from his hands. Where do you see tenufa? Just because you take it from, maybe which means he hands it off. Give the basket to the Kohen. Atya yad yad mishlamim. We have a gezerah shava yad yad by korban shelamim. Ketiv acha. It says by bikurim, "V'dakach hakohen atene miyadecha." וכתיב, and it says by Shlamim, ידיו תביאנה את אישי השם, finish the pasuk, להניף אותו תנופה להשם. By the pasuk over there by Shlamim, but it says יד, it says you have to make a תנופה, they wave the קורבן Shlamim. So therefore, מה כאן כהן, אף להלן כהן, which is just like by the ביקורים, because it says ולקח הכהן, so too by Shelamim, we learn that the Kohen takes the Shelamim and he makes the Tenufa. However, ma lehalan be'alim, afkan be'alim. But by Shelamim, it says the owner takes it. We have two pesukim. By Bekurim, it says the Kohen takes it. By Shelamim, it says, yadav tibi'enna. The owner takes it. So we make Yisra Shavah both ways. We say like this. Just like by Shelamim. Sorry, just like by Bekurim. It's the Kohen that's taking it. By Shlamim, the Kohen has to take it. And just like by Shlamim, it's the owner that takes it, so to by Bikurim, the owner has to take it. Make up your mind. How do they both do Tenuva? So the Gemara says, HaKetzad! Maniach Kohen Yadav Ta'at Yedei Ba'alim Umeniv. The guy brings the Bikurim like this, with his hands under the basket. The Kohen sticks his hands under his hands, and they make the Tenuva together. Which means, if I only had the Pasuk by Bikurim, I would say what? Give it to the Kohen, let the Kohen make the tenufa. Oh, the truth of the matter is, I wouldn't even know tenufa. Doesn't say tenufa, give it to the Kohen. Oh, but it says the word yad over there. Okay, let's go to Shelamim. Shelamim says the word yad. Oh, wait, but it says yad with tenufa. Okay, good. But by Shelamim, it says the Baalim do it. But by Bikurim it says the Kohen. Ooh, so we're stuck. Okay, you know what? Both. How do you do both? Stick the hands underneath. Let's read Rashi and finish this up over here. That's the chiddush of the Torah. That's not a hatzitsa. That's the whole point. That you would have thought, under his hands, together. We're both doing it. Look at Rashi in the bottom. Ma la'alam ba'alim. That would ba'alim ishta'ed ikhtiv yavi et korbanot la'ashem izbach shalama v'samich liyadav tibienna. By Shilamim is clearly going on the owner. Because talking about the guy that's bringing the korban. So you just linked the two peskim, yad yad. Yeah, but this is the owner. Okay, this is the owner also. But you just said it's to go in. Ela what? It is indeed both. Okay, I have a question over here. You want to have a question? Why don't you tell me? So you're asking the Tosafot question, Jack. Tosafot asks, Hatzitza. The Kohen's hands are not touching the basket. The Kohen's hands are touching the guy's hands. So I want to say, he's holding on to the basket as well. It's not mamash underneath his hands, which means he holds the cup like this, and he leaves some space, and the Kohen puts his hands in between, so everybody's touching the basket. So there's no chatzitza. Or on the side of the basket. That's one answer. But you're right. It's not mashma in the Gemara. It's mashma in the Gemara under. What's another answer? Another answer is. Well, that's what I said. It's not the katuv. If the Torah is saying to do that, it's not a chatzitza. Torah says put his hands underneath. You're asking about chatzitza. Hashem says to do that. You have to ask him to chatzitza. That's what God wants you to do. You can't ask chatzitza in that question over there. You can only ask chatzitza question where the Torah says, let's say, you have to shake a lulav on Sukkot. Okay, beautiful. Now a guy comes with gloves on and he's shaking the lulav. Oh, chatzitza, you're not touching the lulav or something like that. But if God says, okay, I want you to take the lulav with gloves on. Oh, chatzitza, Hashem says to take it with gloves on. You can't ask chatzitza the Torah. So Hashem says, put your hands under the hands. That's it. That's the Gizat Katu. Baruch Allah. Amen. 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 Amen.